My name is Gus Becker, and I want to thank everyone from Holden for inviting me back. I love coming here because not only do I get to tell you what I know about wildlife, but I also get to learn a lot because I go to some of the sessions when I'm up here. So I always come up here and get refreshed and refilled. And this summer the theme of the summer was the unity of love. And to me, even though I'm a scientist and I study these animals, to me the wildlife is being around wildlife and being in a place like Holden and outdoors. It's very spiritual for me, and that is unusual for a scientist. Usually scientists are pretty stoic and they're all about the facts. But I did read. A sentence in the introduction to the theme of the summer, unity of love, that made a lot of sense to me, because I view all wildlife and all living things as beings, and they're very special to me. So there was a sentence in here about we have to learn how to be in relationship with all things again. How to approach another and how to reassure each other. We need to find ways of giving real attention to one another, of entering into genuine dialogue with the earth and all its creatures. And that, to me, is significant. I actually, whenever I talk about the wildlife or go to places, I feel like I'm getting back in touch with all the creatures that surround us. So I thought it was really appropriate that I'm talking about wildlife now. All right, so tonight I'm going to talk about cougars. Yesterday I talked about bears. Tomorrow will be wolves. And as I go into the presentation about cougars, you might want to make some mental notes of how you can compare the cougar to the wolf. Because cougars are cats, and they're in the cat family. And wolves are dogs, and they're in the dog family. So it's real interesting. I'll remind you tomorrow, but it's real interesting to catch some of the differences. Should I turn that light off in the back?
Yeah, that would be great. That would
be awesome.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that better?
Yes.
Okay. Oh, one last thing. My mother is here. She's sitting over there. I figured I better wear some of my nice shirts. So I've been putting on a new shirt every year. Hopefully you noticed also. Okay, so just like the bear, yesterday I mentioned how the bear is portrayed in the media as, you know, a vicious, you know, animal, always attacking it. And unfortunately, we have the same issue with cougars. In the media, in the magazines, the cougar is portrayed as the vicious killer cougar, and the reality is so far from that. And you'll find that out as I go into more detail here. The cougar has the largest distribution of any terrestrial mammal in North America. And it's one species. They go from way up here in the Yukon, all through Mexico, Central America, all of the Amazon,
wow,
down through Argentina to the tip of South America. It's the same species. Now, there are subspecies of the cougar, but they also, because they're so spread out, they're known by many different common names. So here in Washington, we call them cougars. But the scientific name is Puma concolor, which it means cat with color. But, you know, if you go to Colorado in the Rockies, they're going to call it mountain lion. If you go down to Arizona and Mexico, they're probably going to use the word puma. I think catamount is maybe something they use back east. I'm not 100% sure because I'm not from the east. But panther, they'll use the name panther down in Central and South America. The physical characteristics of the cougar, so they're extremely agile and they're very strong. The number one distinguishing characteristics of cougars is the long tail. So I've been in the woods in and out for years and years, and the only cougar I ever saw was springing across the road. And the only way I knew it was a cougar because I saw this big long tail going into the woods. They have compact heads. When they're born, for the first year they'll have spots. They'll have spots on the cubs will have spots, but the spots disappear after about 1 year. They are extreme athletes. So, by the way, if you have a house cat at home, you'll find that a lot of the behaviors of your house cat are similar to the cougar. So as far as identifying a cougar, so all cats have retractable claws. So when you're out and you see a track, if you see claws, you can eliminate it as a cougar. Unless there's a rare times where if a cougar is climbing, it may use its claws. But just like your cat at home, if you look at your cat, it has claws, but they're retractable, so they can bring them in and out. The cougar paw print is round versus a dog, which I'll talk about in a little bit. But the pad on cougars has, it's bilobed on top and trilobed on the bottom. And this is different than the wolves, which I'm going to talk about tomorrow. So here's a good comparison. On the left are cougar or mountain lion tracks, and on the right are wolf or dog tracks. So you see tri-lobe here, double lobe here. On the wolf or a dog, it's a single lobe and two lobes here. And you have claws on the, so really easy to differentiate. Now, the cougar track is also more circular, so it's about as wide as it is tall. Whereas a canine track, so a coyote or a wolf, it's going to be more egg-shaped. It's longer than it is wide. These are some actual cougar tracks. This one down here in the mud, you can see there's no claw marks. You can see the bilobe, and if you look closely, you can see how it's trilobed down there. So, really easy to distinguish between a wolf and a cougar when you're out in the field. Like I said, there are rare instances where a cougar is climbing where he will extend his claws. But most of the time, if you look here, there's really no, and you'll see the difference when I talk about wolves tomorrow. The Cougars are sexually dimorphic. All that means is that the females are smaller than the males. Cougars can swim. They're very good swimmers. As I mentioned, their incredible physical ability. There's a cougar up in the tree. And now, cougars are secretive and solitary, and they hunt by being able to ambush or surprise their prey. Because they're so secretive and solitary, we've probably been out in the woods and walked right by a cougar and never even known that they're there, you know, 10 feet back into the woods looking at us. They're so quiet, they're so secretive, and it's just like your house cat. If you've seen your house cat hiding in the corner quietly, and they're silent, they're exactly like a cougar. So, as I mentioned, they are so secretive that we'll go out in the woods, and I'm sure that I've walked right by a cougar and never even noticed. And if you're really good, you can spot the cougar in this photo. Can you see the face?
I can.
There's one eye, there's an eye in here, that's his head. This one's a little bit easier. How about here? So I can imagine this being a trail and me just walking right by, and the cougar is not interested in me, and I'll never know he's there. There are two cougars here. So, you see how in all those different habitats, they're just so hard to spot. And there is no one that will find this cougar. You will not find this one. Sorry, you can look all you want, but it's in there. I know, it's in there somewhere, but trust me.
What?
I can't really see it.
Oh, I see part of it.
So cougars, just like your house cat, I have a house cat, and I live in kind of a rural area, and my house cat will bring something home, you know, once a week and leave it on the front porch. But my cat lies in the brush and waits for the right time for whatever it's hunting, and then it jumps on it. That's how they hunt, which is very different than the wolf, which I'll be talking about tomorrow. As I said, they're very secretive. They're more active at dusk and dawn, and this is just a picture of a cougar going across somebody's front yard, and this was captured by their security camera.
What does that cougar have?
That is a deer. So cougars are stalking predators, meaning they hide and then they surprise their prey. Their main diet is deer and elk. Here in Holden, it's going to be deer because there are no elk in this area. Although deer and elk is their major prey, they're opportunistic. They'll eat other things, other animals, and other wildlife. their predation rate, meaning what they eat or how often they eat, depends on their sex. So a female with young is gonna hunt and eat more prey than a male. And the type of prey, it varies depending on, again, on if, whether it's a female or a male or what's available. This is just a pie chart of what a typical diet of a cougar. So you can see this is in Western Washington. 54% of its diet's deer. Almost 9% is elk. Beavers in this case were abundant. And this is the mountain beaver. So some of you that were here yesterday, there was, I can't remember her name, is it?
Robin
had a photo of a mountain beaver, and which is really, really rare, and I was surprised. I've actually never seen anyone that's actually even seen a mountain beaver. But mountain beavers are their own genus, Aplodontia. They're so weird. So what a mountain beaver is, it's a combination of a gopher and a beaver. It's about this big. It lives underground. It goes underground and eats the roots of trees, young trees. And they're just really weird, really rare. And I'm actually surprised that the cougars can even find them. One thing, if a cougar has killed a deer, and it'll come back to that deer the next day and maybe a third day, but it uses nature's refrigerator, but it'll drag the carcass off and cover it with weeds and dirt, and it kind of keeps it cool for so that he can come back and eat some more later on. Cougars are top-tier carnivores, so they do have impact on other wildlife populations. Because they're opportunistic and because they hunt by ambushing, they will take young, old, injured. There's no particular deer that they will take. Unlike the wolf, because the wolf hunts by running down its prey, and I'll talk, so because they run down their prey, the wolf will generally prey more on old, young, injured deer. With the cougar, it's totally different. They're gonna ambush whatever is there. You know, because they're a top-tier predator, they can affect populations of like deer and elk. They maintain an ecological balance by maintaining deer and elk populations. If you remove the cougars completely, your deer and elk populations go up. The deer and elk, with high numbers of deer and elk, and they affect other parts of the local habitat, and I'll talk a little bit about that in a minute. Do cougars have a big impact on livestock? This is, if you're a farmer or a rancher, in general, you're a little wary of being anywhere near cougars. In general, they don't have a significant impact on livestock. Here in Washington, they will eat goats, sheep, and farm-raised llamas, but they're not particular. They don't particularly go after horses and cattle. And then I'll talk about it a little bit later, but if you have a problem cougar that's preying on your goats or your sheep, the easy common solution and what we've always done is just go out and shoot it and get rid of it. Well, because of the population dynamics of cougars and how they're territorial, you'll see how that actually makes the problem worse. I'll talk about that a little bit later. By the way, if you have any questions, just raise your hand or yell out at me. So, cougars are territorial. If you were here yesterday, you remember bears are not. So, these are actual home ranges of cougars, and the big green line is a male cougar. So the green line is a male. And that male, inside his home range, he has a yellow female, a red female, and a blue female. The male is territorial because he wants to protect, he wants to keep other males from breeding with those females. He wants to pass on his genes. So this male will defend that green line from other males. The females, they avoid each other. They're not necessarily territorial. They kind of, if they see another female, they're like, okay, hi, nice to see you. You know, you go that way, I'm gonna go this way. You could see the three females, actually all three of them overlap right there. But then they're pretty much mutually exclusive everywhere else. This is just the size of a male's home range, about 505 kilometers. Female home range is less. And as far as how far do males move in a day, about four kilometers a day, females a little less. Maybe I'll wait and talk about it later. These females that are living next to each other, in a lot of cases, it's the young female of the mother. So they tolerate each other. And I'll talk a little bit about that. So the males are territorial. Females generally avoid each other. Because the males are territorial and they will fight other males, the population limits itself. And this is important because some people assume that they see a cougar and maybe the next day they see another one and they're like, oh, there's, you know, we're getting overrun by cougars. It just doesn't happen. The males will attack other males and kill other males. So they limit the number of cougars the size of the cougar population in a certain area. They'll never be, five males. There'll never be huge amounts of cougars in a certain area. How do you know if a cougar's around, and how do they mark their territories? Well, they'll go and scrape logs, and they'll leave a scent there, and they'll urinate on a log, and that marks their territories. So, let me talk a little bit about the reproduction and biology of the cougars. These, by the way, as you can tell, are cougar cubs. So it's really hard to estimate cougar populations because they're so secretive and they're solitary. One important thing about cougars is the young cougars, after a year, they disperse. And so there's a lot of young males and females that are moving in and out, immigrating and emigrating out of an area. And I'll show you some pictures of that too. Cougars can breed year round, although in general it's usually once a year, but the population in Washington State is stable. In Washington State there's about 2,000 to 3,000 cougars. That's the estimate of the population in Washington. The black bear population in Washington State is 25,000. And then as I go on during the week, you'll see that the wolf is even less, and then the wolverines are even less. So this is just some of the pressures on cougars. About 20% die from hunting. 5% is cougars killing other cougars. Motor vehicle accidents kill about 5%. Feline leukemia is a fatal disease in cougars. Depredation is poaching or trapping or hunting. I mean, not hunting, but poaching and trapping for their skin. Okay, so typical cougar lives 10 to 13 years. As I mentioned, so cougars are a game species here in Washington, so there is a cougar season on them. Other cougars kill them, accidents and diseases.
What, are they hunted for food?
What?
Are they hunted for food?
Sport.
Sport? The pelt.
The pelt?
I don't know anybody that eats cougars.
Do they sell the pelts, or what is it?
Yeah,
what they
sell.
They use them for?
So what's interesting is up until 1970, there was a bounty on cougars. So you would get paid for shooting any cougar. So you could go out and shoot a cougar, and the government would pay you for that cougar. So there was a bounty up until 1970. Then they became a game species, and there was a cougar season. So you can imagine when there was a bounty, the cougar population was probably pretty close to almost disappearing here. So the females mature in about 2 to 3.5 years. They can breed year-round. There is a pulse, or most of the cougars are born, a majority of them are born in June, July, and August. Gestation is about 92 days. On average, they have 2 to 3 kittens. And the male has no role in raising the young, just like the bear. Make a note of that, because the wolf is totally different. It's really interesting to see how different the two species are. So I mentioned that dispersal. So dispersal just means that the young that were born, 18 to 24 months ago, they have to leave. Their mother is going to kick them out of the house, so to speak. They have to leave and go find their own territory, find their own mate, and start their own life. So this is actually, these are two males that disperse. This is an area where they live. And at 18 months old, and they were radio collared. So with a radio collar, we could locate where they were at. But this is Washington State. Seattle's over here. This is the Columbia River, and this is Oregon. And so these two cougars dispersed and traveled all the way down to the Columbia River. And they turned around because they didn't want to swim the river. But this guy ended up finding an area where he could start his family there, probably found a mate. And this is a long way. That's half the state of Washington. And remember I mentioned about how, just going out and shooting a problem cougar doesn't really work? Because they're territorial, if you were to take out a male cougar because it's eating your sheep, or once you remove that male, guess what? A dispersing cougar is going to come in and take over that area. So you're never, it's like a mouse in the cabin. You may trap one mouse, but 2 days later there'll be another mouse there. As far as cougar habitat, they love stalking and security cover. Holden Village and all the area along the lake with all those rocks, this is prime cougar habitat. If you look at how many places a cougar can go underneath a rock, as soon as you get on the boat in Fields Point or Chelan and you look at the mountains, there is so much cover here. And here in Holden, that mountain over there is full of rocks, and cougars love being able to perch on a rock, go underneath the rock, into a crevice. They also like riparian areas right along the river. They like areas, scientists call, this is kind of a scientific term, edge. Edge is simply the area where two habitats meet, and in this case you can see there's a clear cut here, and then the forest. So if you're a cougar, where are you going to be? You're going to be right along that edge, hunting and waiting for anything to come by out here in the open. Just like bears, cougars take the easy road. If they're going from point A to point B, are they going to walk down the road and go through right through the Holden Village, or are they going to go over the rock? They're going to go right down the road. They're just like bears. They're going to take the trails and the road. This cougar should be easy. But he's got a radio collar on him, but it's right there if you don't see it. As I mentioned, deer and elk are the primary prey. They are top-tier carnivores. I already mentioned how they maintain the biodiversity. If you get rid of the large carnivores, if you get rid of the bears and you get rid of the wolves and you get rid of the cougars, then it's going to cause an imbalance. And you're getting, in the case of the cougar and the wolves, you're going to, where they are, you're going to get increased deer populations or increased elk populations. The deer and elk will overbrowse riparian areas. They love to eat all the cover along the river, the willows. When the deer eat the willows, it reduces the habitat for songbirds or little birds. And it's all connected, so we're all connected. That was one of the things I tried to show you yesterday when the bears eat the moss. It makes you wonder why we have bees and ants and wasps. Well, somewhere, somebody in the food chain is the bees or the ants have, they're significant. Everything is significant. The cougars in the science world are called a keystone species because they can have such an impact on the ecological balance of the habitat where they live. We humans have the most impact on all the wildlife. I'm going to talk a little bit about cougars in urban areas. Surprisingly, cougars are pretty adaptive. This is just the number of cougar sightings and interactions in Western Washington over the years. The Washington population, the human population, has increased about 30% since 1990. By 2030, Washington State's population is going to be 8.2 million people. With all of these humans, the impact on the wildlife, of course, is we need more houses, we need more shopping centers, we need more grocery stores. So we have a great impact on the habitat. And with more people, of course, there's going to be more cougar-human interactions, bear and cougar interactions. In scientific terms, this line indicates where the urban area meets the rural area, and we call that the wildland-urban interface. And increasingly, sorry, I already talked about this, the 2,000 to 3,000 cougars in the area. Surprisingly, in Washington State, we did a survey, and it was nice to see that people still wanted the cougars around and believed that they understood that wildlife and the cougars are integral parts of the ecosystem. Now, as far as managing cougars, so the Washington Department of Wildlife manages the cougars here. As I said, prior to 1970, they were a bounty species, so they were extensively killed prior to 1970. Then they became a game species. The Washington Department of Fish and Wildlife is the department that actually manages the wolves, and they have in managing the cougars. These are the goals. They want to maintain and keep stable populations of cougars. There are people that like to hunt them, so they want to keep them as a game species. They want to ensure public safety. There are people that value the cougars just being able to see them or to know that they're there. And as I mentioned before, cougars are very, very valuable in maintaining the predator-prey balance. This is just a list of a whole bunch of cougar studies that have gone on in Washington. There's been extensive studies of cougars. These are actually different areas in Washington State where there's been cougar research. So if you're a scientist and you want to study cougars, you need to catch one and you need to put a collar on it. So how do you catch a cougar? Well, first of all, you go out hopefully in the spring or early winter, and there's snow on the ground, and you start looking for tracks. Once you find a track, you have these guys, your hound dogs. And the tracks in winter hold the cougar scent a lot longer. So that's why you want to go out in late fall or early spring. So once you find a track, you release the dogs, and the dogs are going to tree the cougar. So remember I told you that the cougar is a stalking predator. And the dog, which is related to the wolf, is the distance runner. So the dogs will chase the cougar, and the cougar will get tired and go up a tree. Very different hunting characteristics. And I'll talk about that more tomorrow. So you're a scientist, and you need to put a collar on the cougar. So now you've got the treed cougar, and that cougar's not coming down. So what do? You get out your dart gun with a little tranquilizer, and you hopefully get that cougar right in the rump with the tranquilizer, and then you wait for it to fall asleep, and you take a big tarp and put it underneath the tree, and when the cougar falls asleep, he drops down into the tarp. And now you've got about maybe 10 minutes to weigh him, sex him, put a collar on him before he wakes up. There are other ways to monitor cougars: hair snares, scat analysis, and remote cameras. I'm going to go through these a little bit quickly. These are individual cougars in urban areas. So these cougars, every yellow dot represents a cougar location, and we've done that because they have radio collars on and we can locate them. So this is an urban area. What we found out was, and what I'm trying to tell you here is that they they were in these urban areas, but people didn't know it. But we could tell by the radio callers just how close they were to people. And so, who was it that was telling me about the cougar on the deck? Yeah. This is common to see, have a cougar come by your deck. And that. Mm-hmm. I hear lots of stories, and actually, I'd love to hear your stories about them. So here again, I think this is North Bend, Washington. This is I-90, but you can see all the cougars' locations. This is a little bit better, the green belt. This is, I think, Issaquah, and so the green belt, there's cougars living in here. This one went for a swim, I think. So with all those cougars around, when you walk your dog, are you actually, trolling for cougars? No, not really. The cougars just really aren't interested in us and what we... So what are the chances? You heard me talk yesterday about the chances of a bear coming at you and having a bad encounter with a bear. So what are the chances of you running into a cougar? Well, in the United States, 48 people die each year from bee stings. Washington State, by the way, is in the green. Dog bites, lightning, your chance of getting hit by lightning. And so here's your chances of having a bad encounter with a bear. And so I'm trying to let you know that when you see the newspaper about the killer bear or the vicious cougar, it's a little bit sensationalized. Yes, there are bear attacks and there are cougar attacks, but if we're aware of our surroundings and how we're hiking in the woods and what we're doing with our garbage, we're really, really unlikely of getting anywhere near a cougar. This is just data on the chance in the urban areas, the chances of the people actually seeing one of our radio collared cougars out of 73 cougars, the chances of them actually seeing one that we had a radio collar on was like 0.0073. So if you do encounter a cougar, how do you know if it's a friendly cougar or it's a mean cougar, or how do you know what to do? And the best way to know is looking at the facial expressions of a cougar. If I'm walking along and I happen to notice a cougar, this guy is relaxed. Pay attention to his ears. Pay attention to his ears and his whiskers. These cougars have absolutely no interest in me or whatever is down there, whatever they're looking at. So now you have an alert cougar. Its mouth is open. The ears have kind of gone back a little bit. He's a little bit agitated, maybe alert. Look what happened to the ears. And can you see that posture? So at this point, this is the point where I'm gonna back away slowly. You wanna keep eye contact with the cougar, because remember I told you how cougars hunt by ambushing their prey and surprising it. If you make eye contact with the cougar, he knows you see him, and that's going to diminish the chance. He knows he's lost the element of surprise. This cougar's ears are completely flat, and its whiskers are gone down. He is not very happy. So In biology and in the wildlife world, there's a thing called fight or flight. So animals, when they're cornered and they're backed up against a wall, like this cougar's backed up, and he has nowhere to go, the cougar's got two choices. It's either to fight or run away, fight or flight. And so you don't ever, ever want to back a cougar into a space that they can't get out of, because he only has two choices, and that's either come at you or try to get out. And if you eliminate the escape route, his only choice is to come out after you. So here's some things as far as if you come across a cougar on the road. Do not run. Stand up tall. Put small children behind you or pick them up. Don't break eye contact. Let that cougar know that you see him. Make yourself big, so stand up. Maybe stand on a stump. Yell and wave your arms and throw sticks at it. This is what you do if you come across a cougar. If you're attacked, you need to fight back. So if you live in cougar country, as I mentioned before, you know, understand where you live, be aware of your surroundings, teach your kids about cougars. Don't ever, ever feed the wildlife, leave your garbage around. Minimize cover. If you've got big bushes growing near your house, you may want to trim some of them. And in conclusion, so the cougars are a tough, adaptive, top-tier carnivore. They're very important to the balance of habitats and ecosystems. And people and cougars can coexist, just like all other wildlife. We're all connected and we're all related. And that's all I have on the cougars. Thank you. I will take questions. Yeah.
Yes. What kind of a sound do they make?
That's a great question. So.
They meow kind of, don't they?
So, that's a great question. I love getting these questions, so just ask away. So, cougars have a wide variety of vocalizations, and the typical one is a growl, you know, rawr. But they have a thing called a caterwaul. And a caterwaul, and this usually happens at dusk or dawn, it sounds just like someone in pain, a woman screaming. It's terrifying. And I've had friends that have out at night that hear it's nighttime, and they hear this just loud scream like someone's just been impaled with a spear or something. So, and that's you, the caterwaul, or that scream, or it sounds like a baby crying, or just a shriek. It's normally a female, and she's the female's in kind of in heat and trying to attract males. But that's a great question. I have not heard the caterwaul, but I know people that have heard it. And it sounds like just a woman or someone screaming in the woods. If you didn't know better, you could think that somebody's out in the middle of the woods. Yeah.
Would a bobcat or another cat have a scream like that?
Not that I know.
Not that you know, okay. Because I've heard it before, and I thought it was a bobcat.
Yeah. But they are really closely related, so it wouldn't surprise me. But I haven't heard anyone say that. Yeah.
In the first picture, you showed two zones, a North American zone, a South American zone, and a zone of separation. How long have people been conscious of that zone of separation?
You mean the one that showed North American?
Let's say the cougars lived in North America and the panthers lived in South America, and that zone near the isthmus where they didn't overlap. How long has that
been? Well, actually, so that wasn't an overlap. That was the dark gray was where the current habitat of the cougars are, and that light gray was where they used to live before we pushed them out. Do you want me to go back to that?
Yeah, let's go back.
So it's where, it's like the slide that I showed on, let's see, actually, maybe. It's the distribution of the animals, the species. And just like the bears, we pushed them out of their traditional habitat.
Yeah.
So got that zone near the isthmus where there's nothing in there.
Yes, so I don't know what's going on down here and down here, but this is areas where the cougars have been pushed out.
And I guess my question is, how long have people been tracking things so that they're aware of this zone there in Upper South America where things are, where there's nothing there, where there's that separation?
Yeah, so in North America and this part of Mexico, there's been a lot of cougar studies. Central America, the data isn't as well known. So there hasn't been a lot of really recent or good studies of cougars starting, you know, southern Mexico to Panama. There's been extensive research in Brazil and extensive cougar research in Chile and Argentina. So we know this is pretty accurate. I don't know how accurate that is. Is that the question you were asking?
Yeah, because separation eventually causes change. And so how long have we been aware of change, of the separation?
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting to me is they used to be all over here, and they're not now. Yeah, go ahead.
Nomenclature for cougars. Seems like I remember that they used to run around in the Appalachians, too, and that they were called panthers there. Also, what are they called in the between the southwest, where they're known as pumas, and the northwest, where we call them cougars? There's an area like includes California, Nevada. Would they just be called mountain lions there, or
I think
possibly
so.
Cats?
I think they're going to call them mountain. Well, actually, I've seen studies on cougars that live near Los Angeles, and they call them cougars down there. Or mountain. I'm not sure, but there are actually some famous, there's one or two famous cougars in the Los Angeles area.
Yeah, they cross freeways and get away.
Yeah, and there are people are amazed. Do you have a question?
I was gonna say, so I live in Nebraska, and there are cougars there, like my next door neighbor, a quarter mile down. So I was wondering how long ago this map was updated.
Oh, well, that's good to know. I'm happy. So Nebraska is somewhere in there, right?
A little further west, but yeah.
That's good to know.
Yeah.
I didn't know. I don't know how recent that is. Maybe it needs to be updated.
They're in East Nebraska.
Yeah.
Whether wildlife and fisheries knowledge is not. Yeah.
We're sure they're not that far.
Yeah.
Is there an action to try and move cougars back to eastern United States?
There are no efforts that I know to move cougars to the east. I don't know. Does anybody else know if there are? I think that the problem with that is that we have so overpopulated and moved in and built and expanded us humans that there's the habitat that was there is now gone. So that the chances of getting more cougars back is slim. Yes. Do you have a question?
So did they like live right there, and where did they move?
Well, these guys live here, and they move they move all over. They'll go up and down this way and that way. They don't move over here because there's too many people. They like their nice little quiet neighborhood.
Oh, so they used to be right there, but there's too much houses, so they all pushed them out.
Yes, they used to be here, and we pushed them out of where they used to be. That's true. Yep.
So the Aplodontia, we have a lot of them in Seattle.
Yeah.
Mountain beavers are everywhere.
Are they really? I never.
They're. So I don't know what area you were talking about where they're extremely rare. Is that Eastern Washington?
Well, where I live. Sorry.
No. Oh, okay.
I mean,
and where do you live?
I live in Wenatchee.
Okay, so
I never see them. I know they're there, but
They love it where we are.
Yeah, well, that's because you have lots of plants to eat. They love to go underneath and eat the plants.
Right. Yeah.
So
you said that they're really territorial, and you had that slide where there was just a few, and they had this very large territory. But then you were showing the slides with the urban, with the yellow dots in the urban areas, and there seemed to be dozens of them in a
single cougar. That was a single cougar.
Yeah,
those dots, that was one individual.
Got it. Okay.
So every one of those dots was a location on one individual.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Do you think that this may take over new territory? Do they kill all the cubs like a lion does? I know lions, when a male lion takes over new territory, he'll kill the cubs.
That is a possibility, yes. They would, because if a male comes in, if he came across a female with cubs, I think he would definitely. He would want, I mean, I'm not 100% sure, but yes, I think.
The lions want to bring the female in, and he has children. He's
Yes?
Is there any reason a cougar would attack a hiker out there? Is there anything that we can do? Is it like a bear, just let them know that we're around, you know?
Well,
is that.
So if you read the papers or watch the news, you'll know that recently cougars attacked a mountain biker. So I think it's the movement of a mountain biker. The cougar is lying next to a trail and it's waiting for something to come by. And if you come by quietly, or you're hiking and you're talking to some, but maybe you're hiking with a friend and you're talking, you give advance notice to that cougar that you're there and that you're human. If you're on a mountain bike and you're coming by fast, the cougar doesn't have time to determine, are you a deer or are you a mountain biker? And boom, they'll jump on the mountain biker. If I was a mountain biker, I would carry a bell with me. If I'm in coop country, I want to let the wildlife know that I'm there. And if you let the wildlife know that you're there, they will know that you're a human. And they're, you know, 99% of the time. As a hiker, I'm going to want to be vocal, you know, sing, talk to you, you know. But you know, give the wildlife, let them know you're there.
Yeah.
It's real important.
They're not interested in humans.
They're not. No. All right. One more question.
Is it okay if I can see like the dead deer again?
Yeah. You want to see the dead deer?
Yeah. All right.